Welcome to The Writer's Block, a podcast for writers by writers, providing you with a great resource and community. Here are your hosts, Abel, Amber, and Julie.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to The Writer's Block. Today, we are recording episode 8, Tips for Building Your Publishing Team. I am the moderator for this show, so the video will be on my YouTube channel, and the link to all of our channels will be in the description of this podcast. So ladies, today we are talking about obviously building your team, and doesn't necessarily mean like you're physically building, you know, you're getting your editor, you know, you have to find, it could also be finding an agent, sending query letters, whatever you want to talk about, we'll get into it. Before we get into the meat of the episode, I want to pause and give you a message from one of our sister podcasts.
Hello, hello, guys. It's Ashley and Chloe from the Siren Podcast.
Hey, guys.
A podcast all about Freeform's new show, Siren. Siren takes the whimsical concept of mermaids and gives it a darker twist. You can watch Siren on Hulu or the Freeform app. All of our episodes can be found on YouTube or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media and join the Mer family.
All right, let's dive right into this episode, okay? So I, as a self-published author, had to build my own publishing team. I knew right away that I didn't want to send query letters. I've never done that. I've never pitched an agent. I've never done anything. I knew that I wanted to self-publish for a little while, get the quote-unquote bad stuff out, you know, because they say your first book, no matter what's your worst. And I wanted to get that out and get it done with and say I wrote a book and be happy with it before I did any of that. And so I literally had to build a team. I had to find an editor. I found a design cover artist. I found beta readers. Believe it or not, there are people that will do that for you. And and then people don't tell you this, but you need a book formatter. You can't just like upload a doc to Amazon Kindle. You actually have to find someone that's going to format your books for you. So you have to get a book formatter, and I had to do that as well because I wasn't going to read all of how to do that. So I'll tell you just the very first thing, because you've both self-published, what was the very first thing that you did after your first draft, which this is going to be another episode later down the line talking about after you finish your first draft, but that's going to be more about the editing process and stuff. This is about, what did you do? Like, how did you get your book out into the world? What steps, you know, how did you build your publishing team? Julie, what did you do after you wrote your first draft? What did you do after that?
So I feel like this is going to be a long answer. Do you want me to take it all the way through from start to finish?
Yeah, that's fine. We'll go to Amber.
Okay. Perfect. So right after my first draft, I went to a really good friend of mine, and she helped me kind of organize it. So my first self-published work is a flash fiction and poetry collection. So I went to a friend, and they helped me kind of break down how to organize all of my work and make it cohesive through these different chunks and different kind of themes within my work, which was super, super helpful. And then between the two of us, we went through with a shared Google Doc and changes and edit it together. Because I have a background in editing, I was able to do a lot of that myself, but she allowed me to have a little bit of distance from my work. So I didn't have to go out and find an editor because I had that in a friend who was also a writer, which was aces because that was also free. So that was amazing. I was able to cut down a lot of costs there because I had experience and she had experience. And between the two of us, I felt comfortable going forward with the book. And then after that, once I had everything kind of where I wanted it organized, you know, into different sections, I went to a friend of mine who was a business partner with the Indie Chicks, who did all of our graphic design. And she actually designed my cover for me in Photoshop. I had a stock photo that I had purchased through Shutterstock, which you can use up until, I think, $10,000, $15,000 worth of sales. You can use that image, you know, with like a $5 purchase or whatever. I didn't anticipate making that much money off of the book. I still haven't made that much money off of the book, so I'm safe. So it was really, really affordable for me to head to Shutterstock, pick a picture that I liked, and then give her the dimensions of what the cover should be. And she was able to design something for me, put my bio on the back and the little blurbs and all that. And then when I revamped that and did a second edition of it, Amber was able to take the original picture and actually tweak it a little bit so that I could keep the same picture and the same basic design and then change a little bit of the wording and the bio in my bio picture. So Amber, again, my cover was just designed in Photoshop with friends who had Photoshop skills, which was, again, free, fantastic, super appreciate it. And I was able to not have to outsource that particular task. Then I had a book that was like indie self-publishing and how to self-publish. And then I sat there and I read through all of the KDP, which is the Kindle publishing. And I went to CreateSpace. And CreateSpace offers a format where you can upload your doc. They give you like the specifications for margins and all of that. I was able to do that without any problem. And I was able to format my book for CreateSpace, and they do on-demand printing. So I was able to get some books printed to me. And then they also do on-demand printing for orders, and they are a sister company of Amazon. So I was able to, through CreateSpace, upload my book, and that worked for the ebook, and it also worked for on-demand printing. So I didn't have to warehouse anything. If somebody ordered the book, they would print it and send it out. I could be hands-off. Of course, that means less profit for me, but like the hands-off aspect worked best for me personally. So I didn't outsource the formatting of the book at all for print or ebook. I was able to do that myself with a little bit of research and a couple of little, you know, self-publishing books that I already had in my possession. So from start to finish, it was all in-house with a friend and myself editing, and then a friend doing the cover, and then doing my own CreateSpace upload, and then went right to KDP for the Amazon and the ebook kind of formatting. And I didn't have to worry about too much. I also had a website where I sold the book personalized. So I would sign it and then ship it out. And then I had to kind of factor in my own shipping cost and a website with a shopping cart, basically, and payments and all that. So I worked on that for a little while and then realized that was a hassle and a half and got rid of it. But that was something that I did right off the bat. Also, because a part of a typical publishing team is also marketing and promotion, I went and I had a huge network of writers that I was already working with, because I came and I published right off of the heels of the Indie Chicks. And I had a team of over 350, 400 writers that I was already working closely with as editor in chief. So I established and set up my own blog tour for my book. So I gave out free ebook versions of my book, and I went to all of those people and said, for a free ebook, would you be interested in doing a blog post about this book, author interviews, whatever you might want to do with me? Totally available. Would you be willing to help me promote my book and do a blog tour? So I published, and then right up to, I did not do the blog tour pre-publishing, which I should have done to boost the excitement over the book. I did it post-publishing. So right after it published, I did the blog tour, and I did that for about 3 weeks. I had something like every day for about 3 weeks and went around to all these different websites and then re-promoted that. And that was my marketing and promotion. And I used all of my different author platforms that we've already talked about in a prior episode, all of my social media to kind of talk about the book as well and promote the sales. And that did really, really well for me for that first initial push, until you kind of run out of your initial circle. Like, there's only so much you can kind of grow. And then after that, I started BookTube, and that created a whole new market and a whole new circle for me to then access, for people to learn who I was and then hopefully get interested in my book. And then that's kind of how I've been continuing to increase sales, is through BookTube and my growing, continuing growth through the internet that way. So that was kind of my journey from start to finish. And that's my only current publishing experience personally. So that's how it worked for me.
Okay. Amber, what about you? I don't know if you had a similar, or did you kind of do things differently?
I mean, there's some similar things that I did, but the very first draft that I wrote, I actually wrote my vampire book, and I wrote it for Nano, and it ended like right at 50,000 words, and I thought it was a masterpiece, and I sent out one query via email, and I thought, this is it. I picked my perfect, you know, agency. I'm going to get a, you know, they're going to respond quickly. They're going to give me a book deal. It's all going to be great from here. I never received a response, and I only ever sent out that very one. But then after that, I just kind of uploaded it to the internet with a stock image in the create space, like created. Oh, it was horrible, but I don't recommend that. But then, so whenever I wrote the started writing the trilogy, I actually got, I paid for a book cover designer artist, and she made original art for me, which I think is very beautiful. But at this point, that was 10 years ago, and it is a bit outdated now. And it is not really a style that's popular anymore. So I think that if I ever did decide to republish those books, I would have to get new covers for them anyway. But after that, I took a few Photoshop classes. So every book prior, after that, I started creating my own covers. And I think I've done a pretty good job on a couple of them. I think they're decent for self-publishing. But as far as I've never really paid an editor or beta readers or any of that. I've always had friends do it or family or myself. And then it turns out, I upload it and it still has tons of errors because, of course, my family isn't editors. But, yeah, I've never really had a full publishing team. The only aspect of a publishing team I've had is one cover artist, which was very, very, very expensive. And I've never fully recovered that money because my book sales weren't great because I didn't have a marketing team. So I never marketed myself. But I do see now in the future, coming from having done all these, the importance of having more people do these, but you really need to know that your book is going to do well or it doesn't cover the cost of this stuff because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't get anything for free. The only thing I got for free was my beta readers, which I called on my street team. And it was 10 people who I knew personally who have read the kind of books that I read, and I gave them all a copy of my book, and all they had to do was give me a review on release day. But I, after my first draft, for my first book, I hired an editor. I went through CreateSpace as well. I thought the editor was fantastic because she was so nice. I was like, oh, she's so nice. I always hear, you know, evil things about editors. And, well, later on, I ended up firing her because I'm like, what the hell? My book has so many things wrong with it. And not only that, but every book, even Harry Potter, had errors in it up until recently. I'm sure people will still find an error in it. Every book's going to have an error, but as much as I gave her, as much as an editor charges, I don't feel like there should be that much mistakes. So I let her go. But now, to this day, I have a strong team. I have the same guy has done all of my book covers. He is from the Ukraine. He actually, I found all of them on Upwork. So it's freelance, like a freelance website. Mm-hmm. And so now he is on my team. He's done all of my book cover art, and he is fairly priced for a book cover because book covers can cost up to thousands of dollars. And he charges me just, you know, a couple of hundred, but it's because he knows that I'm going to be a repeat client, and so I've agreed to do that. Same thing with my editor. Editing is expensive, but if you're going to waste any kind of money, it should be for edit. It should be for an edit, and you can always get a stock photo and put it as your cover. I don't care what anybody tells you. Editing is where you should put your money. And she has done the same for me. She has lowered her cost for me because I have agreed to strictly use her, and she knows that I'm going to be a repeat customer as well. And a lot of times, if you have a freelance editor like that, if you talk to them and make deals with them, and you're not bargaining them because you're paying them for their work still, and their work is valuable because it's a lot of time. But a lot of times, if you agree to just strictly use them, they're going to probably give you a better deal. And it's just a matter of asking, you know, maybe they'll say no, but I asked, and thankfully my editor and my book guy, they said yes. So now they're both part of my team. And then I also have a book formatter who formats my books. So he formats for Kindle so it can have like cool pages, you know, cool pages and cool different fonts and different head titles in my book. And so now they're all, we have like a group chat whenever it's getting time to release a book, and they're all a part of my team. I've created kind of my own team where like a publishing house would do this for you. They'd have all these people that work with you and for you. I've kind of created my own team that way. The only thing that I haven't really got down is the marketing aspect of it, you know, and even with the publishing house, you'll have marketing materials or they'll book you on a tour, but they a lot of the time expect the authors to do self-promotion still. You know, Saba Tahir is always on social media. She's on Instagram stories, you know, and Adam Silver is the same way, you know, putting his books out there, because it's kind of, you have to do your own work. And that's the only part that I need help with, because I'm not that great of a marketer. But again, like what we talked about in a previous episode about author platforms, I now, where I was in my first book, and now I actually have a platform. I have an online following now, whereas before I kind of just released the book and I was like, God, I hope it does well. Well, there's actually websites that you can submit your book to for, like, they have like newsletters that they send out, and you can do, if you have a new book coming out, you can pay them and they will send your book to all of their newsletters. And I did that when my book was released, and then I had a book release party with my friends and family at a hotel, and I thankfully was able to make up the money for my first two books that I did because of that book release parties. And I submitted the deals online, and I remember my first book came out, it was on Amazon, it hit the category, it was like in top 10 paid in its category for like a week and a half, and I was like, this is it, I'm gonna quit my job, I'm quitting my job, I am an author. And then it just sunk down, I'm like, this sucks. You know, you see your sales going up and you're like, oh my god, I paid back, like I'm even now, and then it's like profit, and then it falls down, it all comes crumbling down. Now, Julie, have you ever sent a query letter or anything? I know Amber said she has, you have not.
I haven't. No, with my first, with the collection of short stories, I didn't even have beta readers. I went, you know, with just one friend, and I was like, I'm just going to do this before, like, I lose the courage. Like, I'm just going to go for it. And I quick published it. Like, I moved forward with it pretty fast. And then I'm still, you know, like we talked about in a prior episode, I've got a full first book done and half of a book two, and I decided to put them off to the side and totally rework them. So I have not had another full-length novel yet that I need to worry about that with. But I do know that I want to. But I don't have personal experience doing that yet.
For both of you, I have a question. If you were to give advice to an author who is building, in the middle of building their team, what would you say is the most important part of building your team?
Editing.
Me. Me, an editor. I don't think anymore. You can get away with so much, not just as a self-published author, but as any author, especially in self-publishing, though. Covers matter, but you're never, I don't care how pretty your cover is, it's never going to hold up if you've got crappy editing.
I agree. I mean, editing is 100% the most important. Like, for covers, you do want a nice cover, but, you know, for any self-published authors out there, there's actually a website called Cover Vault where they have people that make kind of like, oh, I'll make a cover that looks like this, looks like that, and they'll upload them, and then you can buy them from sometimes $95, $50.
Yeah.
And you just tell them your title and your author name, and they'll send it to you. And there's some on there that look better than professionally published books that I've seen. So there's definitely cheaper, or not cheaper, but less expensive options for covers. But don't skimp out on the editing. That's 100%. You know, a cover might catch someone's eye, but the actual story and the editing will keep a reader. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the cover, like you were saying, there's websites that sell, they're called like pre-designed covers, so like they'll make a bulk, you know, they'll make a 100 of these styled covers with different stock images, and they look really good. Some of them I've considered buying some of them, and you can get a, you can get, even if you had, like, if you plan to write a series, they'll send you, like, they'll say, like, a series set for however many books, and that way all your covers kind of match. And, you know, like you said, it can go anywhere. I've seen them as low as, like, $35 to as high as, like, $120. That's really good for a cover.
That's very good for a cover. So there's definitely exciting ways to do those things affordably. There's even ways to market affordably. Like you said, there's places that can send you out to newsletters. There's definitely networking that you can do with other authors and other platforms or different writer groups. But the one place you don't cut corners is editing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that editing, you know, depending on the range of edit you get, because editing can cost into the thousands easily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're bootstrapping this and you absolutely have no money whatsoever, I would still say that don't let that be an excuse from stopping you to write. What I would suggest, though, is get it in front of as many people as possible. Send people messages on Twitter, people who follow you, other self-published authors, whoever can read your book and have notes for you. I would suggest doing that. Creating networks with people online is important because, although you, let's say right now it's your first book, you're bootstrapping, you don't have any money, but you want to, you know, you bought a pre-designed cover, $60, and you have this really good book. There's absolutely no way you can pay for any kind of edit whatsoever, I think it's very important to just get it in front of as many people as possible. Get as much feedback. I would wait to publish it. You know, if you wanted to publish it in a month, I'd probably push it back 3 to 6 months. If you can't afford an editor, just because it needs a lot of work. No book is ever done on the first, absolutely no book. My first draft, I swear to God, sometimes it's like, you know, I'll say something like, they were going to, and then in capital letters, I'm like, insert place name here, because I don't know where, but I can't think of the name.
And it was still there?
Yeah. You know, and, or I'll say, you know, yeah, and she was talking to, and then I'll say the blonde one with the blue eyes, or because I forget their names, or, you know. And yeah. So you, like, literally, my first drafts are disgusting. And so I think, like I said, if you absolutely cannot afford an editor, don't let that be an excuse for you. But there's ways that you can do it. There is ways that, like I said, my editor, thankfully, we have a good deal where I'm not paying thousands of dollars. I'm paying hundreds, but still, I made that online relationship. I told her, hey, you know, you have my loyalty to you. She didn't have to, you know, listen to me because, you know, she's like, I don't know you. But it's relationships matter. So if you're in forums, you know, you can put it up on, there's a bunch of websites. Like, what are some of those websites that people write? Wattpad, or is it Wattpad or something?
Yeah. Wattpad, you know, publish on and then get feedback on.
Yeah, get it up there and, you know, get it feedback. Put it under a pen name and get feedback.
Yeah.
Give out publishing deals on that website to start, like, every once in a while or something?
They can, for the really popular ones, I think they have. And then there's people that are, like, published that are still putting, like, parts of their, like, novellas on there and stuff. You know, like, there's legit other, like, published authors that are still on there putting out content.
Yeah.
And I also think, Abel, I 100% agree with you that, you know, not being able to afford an editor should not necessarily dissuade you. As somebody who has an editing company and offers editing services, I don't always only edit through Quills and Keys. I've done peer edits with Amber, you know, like, as a co-author, I've sat down and peer edited her work. We didn't pay one another. You know, I have other author friends that have come to me and they're self-publishing and they don't have the funds to do editing and they've sent it to me to beta read. And then, of course, my beta read, because I'm such an editor, goes back with a ton of editing notes, you know? So there's definitely ways, if you can't afford somebody like myself or somebody like Abel has, if you can't afford somebody to do editing, one, reach out to them, because just like Abel, I've had people reach out to me and ask for either bundle deals or deals that weren't on my website. They needed a specific customizable service, which is why most editors, especially if they're freelance editors, will have an option to contact the editor and ask for exactly what you might need and discuss pricing. You don't have to take it at face value. And then also, I 100% agree. If you can't afford even that on any budget or payment plan, because that's also an option. Sometimes you can ask about a payment plan. Then absolutely as many beta readers as you can get, and try to go for people that are very active readers. Try to go for people that are maybe writers themselves, where you can get feedback along with that beta read, because far too often a beta reader will just come back and say, "This was great. I loved it." It's like, that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. Beta reading is supposed to be as helpful as possible. So like, you want to cultivate beta readers that will actually give you critical feedback and criticism and ways to better your writing. You don't want somebody who's just going to blow smoke and say it was fantastic. So until you feel like you've gotten that back, it might take you a while to reach those people. Until you feel like you've gotten that back, hold off. There's no rush to publishing. You're going to hurt yourself more by rushing the publishing than you will taking the time to find those people and those services.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you can get like a critique partner and beta readers to help you with your story, to make sure your story makes sense, and then you can usually get a more inexpensive package by just getting proofreading from the editor rather than actual line editing. Because proofreading is 100% needs to be done. Because if you have typos, it doesn't matter how good your story is, you're going to get bad reviews based on how many typos you have. Mm-hmm. So if you can at least save up while you're doing the beta reading, while you're doing the critique partners, and get a proofreader, when that's done, I think that you would be at least in a better position to be successful as a self-published author.
I agree, 100%.
Yeah, so I think that's all I have for this episode. I think we kind of gave closing thoughts there, but anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up? Or
Julie, I would just say, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask other authors or other writers or friends their opinions. So if you're not sure about cover designers and you know someone that's had their covers designed by someone, just reach out to them and ask them, how did the process go? How much did you pay? Most people will be happy to tell you those things and get you going in the right direction, at least.
I agree. I think that, you know, especially in self-publishing and even in traditionally publishing, I love watching authors and their relationships with one another. We're here to help one another. I don't think anybody thinks that you're going to take their sales away from them. Everybody's usually very, very, very willing to help you. So reach out, ask questions, ask for favors. There's no harm in cashing those in, especially when you're starting out and you're bootstrapping that first novel and learning the ropes. And build a community and a team around you. If you're going to build a team, make sure it's a team you trust. And don't be afraid to cut ties if something's not working. Like Abel said, you had to fire that first editor. Like, don't be afraid to make the decisions that you need to make for yourself and your best possible chance as an author.
Yeah, I would also add, reach out to small booktubers. Smaller booktubers would be super excited to have an author reach out to them saying, "Hey, would you proofread my book? It's my first work. You know, it's my first book ever. I don't have money for an editor. I was wondering if I can get your thoughts on it. And you know, and I'll promote your channel or whatever." A new booktuber would really love to. I know that if someone reached out to me, I'd probably feel like, oh well, they thought of me or they found me, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's just another avenue now that a few years ago when I released my first book, that wasn't really an option. You know, because BookTube is fairly new. At least for me, I just found it maybe a year or two ago, so it wasn't around 7 years ago or 5 years ago. So. Yeah, I think that's all I have left to add. So that is it for this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Our next episode will be Amber's episode, and we're going to be talking about plotting versus panting, which is better, which is easier, which are you. So that's going to be a fun episode. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks, and enjoy your day.
Thank you for tuning in to The Writer's Block. We hope you'll join us for our next show. And until then, remember, it's perfectly okay to write garbage, as long as you edit brilliantly.